Right, hey everybody, welcome to this week's edition of In Focus Video with Joseph Roybal Photography. That's me, and on the other end of this is Adam Goldberg Photography. Adam, how are you doing this week, man?
Good, man. I'm doing well. It's been a little bit since we've done one of these, so thanks to our audience for our absence and for their patience on it. I know it's you've been traveling trying to get some pretty sweet landscape shots, I think, right?
Yeah, man. I've been definitely on the road, and so it's been making it a little hard to, you know, at times connect, but you know, this week I'm home, actually getting ready to leave again today, so we're gonna make a couple videos here. And this week's video is a recap of and then also going into like kind of part two of the night photography that we've been working on. So how have things been going out there for you? What's new?
Yeah, things are good. Been pretty busy with some work. I photographed a liquor store for a client yesterday. Unfortunately, there was no freebies that were given out. It was a shame. But it was a nice liquor store. I feel like every liquor store should kind of look like this. They had a nice beer cave too.
That's important. You know, for sure. So, well, cool,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. You gotta keep that beer nice and cold, right?
You do. And then for, speaking of beer and all that, like for the viewers on this episode, you know, I think like when we first started out doing these videos, we were doing them a lot at like 6 PM. So I was always with beer in hand, and then we've shifted to, the early morning hours. And so now it's, you know, coffee in hand for me, cause it's still early here in Denver.
I'm a water guy most of the time. So, right. Got my little bike water bottle. I'm ready to go.
All right, man.
All right. Whatever. So you're doing round two of night photography.
I am doing round two of night photography this week. We will be working in Photoshop. So this is going to be taking, you know, what I thought would be fun would be taking a newer image of mine that I'm really excited about. And it's still same process as last time, a bit of a recap. And then just kind of diving into the fundamentals of blending and creating a really nice finished product.
Cool. Well, let's get into Photoshop and see what you got for us.
Cool, man. All right. Let's hop in there and yeah, we'll crank this out.
Awesome.
All right, everyone. So diving into this image here, this is a recent image of mine captured in the Eastern Sierras out in California. I had done a multi-day backpacking trip into this area, just really wanting to look for some new content for myself, but also in an area that's not regularly photographed. I always love to get off the beaten path, and so that's a little bit of what I did here. And this particular evening, I had absolutely clear skies, and so I thought it would be perfect to take advantage of that and photograph, you know, stars. And so that's what we're gonna be doing here, is just a bit of a recap on how I go about building this out, masking, and then blending these together, and doing a little bit more here with smart objects and non-destructive workflow, because that's the big deal. You know, really when you're thinking of how to edit these images, having a non-destructive workflow is really critical. And this is a bit of an advanced tip here and technique. So I think that, you know, for those of you that are into night photography, this will be a very big benefit, as smart objects are the, you know, I was gonna say the wave of the future, but they really are. They're super important, and you know, I don't think they get enough discussion points. So yeah, so let's do this. Okay, so enough talking on that. I have taken these three images here. We have the base layer, and again, I like to build my layers out to have the brighter image on the bottom, and then moving forward to having, you know, more of a twilight glow. And I just happen to have a really, really beautiful, this is the raw file, a really beautiful, just purple kind of twilightish glow. And then
yeah,
I
man, that's money right there.
Oh man, just right that, like that light right there, like that, I loved. And then I hung out for a little bit longer, and I got that darker sky to have the stars pop a little more. And so to have the dark sky, another point, you know, to think on is to make sure that you've got like the lunar calendar, the moon phase, when you have, you know, 20-ish% or less of the moon visible, it just really helps your skies be dark, which helps your stars be bright. So these are the three layers. And there we go. So what I've done here, and having these two, you know, these two layers in front of you, this is the base layer. And then what I've done is I've duplicated the base layer already. Simple enough to do. You can right click and simply duplicate layer, or you can do Command Control J on your keyboard, and that will keyboard shortcut to this layer here. Once I was on this layer here as a duplicate, right clicking and then convert to smart object. This will take and convert this layer into a smart object. And then that will leave this base layer that we have down here undestructed, just really, you know, because this is our foreground, this is the layer here that we're going to blend into the night sky and have it match temperature, color, everything. But I took this photograph, you know, as you can see, when the sun was just kind of starting to go behind the hills. But that's the idea, is the image taken earlier for all of your definition and light, taken at a really low ISO, that will create really clean image files for you to then later print or work with. And then as you move forward, then these are going to be a little higher on the ISO and on the time frame, or the, you know, the exposure time. So now that this image is into, you know, a smart object, you know, what I want to do is I want to build out, you know, how we've done in the past, the mask. So for the sky. So I'm going to go up to select and mask here, and again, making sure that you have your upper toggle box checked. And I'm just going to click and sweep across the photo. And that is going to do, as Photoshop does, a really good assessment just on that sky and foreground. It will build that out. And then, you know, again, making sure that you have these over here checked for, you know, anyone that might be just popping into this for the first time, not watching round one. You know, I like to have color as the red. I reduce that opacity. Edge radius, I generally go with the one on the one pixel. And then down here, this output to selection, this is important to have it set for selection. Now what I want to do is, you know, just kind of check this by zooming in a little bit, making sure that Photoshop did a good job of finding those edges on this for the mask. And then I'm going to select my refine edge. And this is just a little magic brush that Photoshop does such a good job on. It just kind of knows what you want, what you don't want. I can see there's a little bit of that mask left over. It got in the sky, and I, you know, I don't want that. So just going to quickly, you know, knock that off. Checking this horizon line for perfect. And I know that over here on the right-hand side, there was an area that one of these little ridges that didn't. There we go. A couple of these. So just clicking on these, it fills it in. Photoshop knows left or right, if you will, right and wrong, that you want it to be more masked or, you know, not. It'll pick this up.
Yeah, I think it learns too as you're kind of going through with that refine brush, which then as you kind of continue along refining it, it learns and kind of gets what you're doing. So it really almost gets like more accurate the more you kind of use this refine brush on each individual image.
It does. It's really amazing how quickly it does this. So there we go. That actually looks really good. And that was a super quick, as you can see, Photoshop did an amazing job of picking out the sky and the foreground. But that's also because I photographed this with such contrast in the sky and the foreground, you know, the rocks being, you know, pretty much black and then the sky being white. Photoshop was able to pick this up really well and easily. So that being done, let's go ahead and come down here and click OK. And that's going to set this up. So, you know, as you can see, you've got these marching ants going, and you can see that now we've got this selection going. So what I like to do with this is, what we need to do now is, and this is where I get a little turned around sometimes, but what I want to do is save this selection. There we go. Save selection. Go ahead and click on that, and let's call this sky. So backing up here a little bit, what this is going to do is, in our channels tab down here, we're going to have sky, and you can see that set up. So anytime we want to add this sky selection, if we need to reselect it at any point, we can easily do that. And it'll just pop that right back into the frame. So, okay, cool. So we have that done. Well, now what do we do with this? So what I like to do is, when, you know, with that sky selected, you turn on your upper layer here, and just right above that, and simply clicking on this guy down here, the add vector mask, that's gonna just immediately click and pop that into the frame. And you get this really nice, you know, I mean, naturally, it doesn't look natural, but it just puts it in place, super slick, super easy. And now with this guy, we can do a little bit, as you can see the mask being white and black, white reveals, black conceals. So that being said, if we go over to grab the brush tool, have the foreground color set to white over here, then if we come in here and, you know, checking our opacity and our flow up here a little bit, I'm just gonna test this here real quick. And, you know, as you can see, when sweeping this in, this is an initial step to getting this blend going from the horizon to the peak line. And it will help hide any sort of, you know, abnormalities in the frame. And you know, those peaks, the peaks from the initial image of the foreground were a little bright, but what happens with this, when you blend this in a little bit like this, is it, like I said, it helps.
Yeah, so really what you're doing is you're just kind of taking the brush tool and painting in essentially some of the darker sky image, so that way, like you said, those peaks don't stand out quite as much. The contrast, kind of, you're decreasing that contrast between kind of the original image and the current image.
Exactly. So blending that together. So get that a little bit blended out, and white reveals, black conceals. And so we're taking this foreground image, and we're essentially taking, and if I hide this mask over here by holding the shift key, if I come in, if I hover over on this guy, and if I hold on the shift key and click, that will disable the mask. So this is the image of the sky in the foreground that the mask has prevented coming through on the foreground. So that, yeah, Adam, that is taking this upper portion and just kind of, you know, the sky, and kind of blending it down to get into that nice blend, you know, sky to foreground. Yeah. But the really cool thing here, and what we've talked about earlier, is this smart object down here. So what I want to do is, doesn't matter. I just want to turn this off real quick. This upper layer. So this guy right here, let's go ahead and opening this in Adobe Camera Raw. This will allow us to make adjustments to the color temperature, to the exposure, everything right here to this layer, without affecting the photograph, destructively.
Yeah, and you couldn't do this without making that a smart object. So this is where the importance of that, making that layer a smart object, comes into play, is that you wouldn't be able to open this into Camera Raw and have it be what it is without that smart object.
Right, so we might be able to open it. What happens is, here, I'll go ahead and, we wanna come up to Filter, and then Camera Raw Filter. And so once we open this up, what it will do is, since we've made it a smart object, and once I click OK and I make some of these adjustments, I'll show how this kind of retains it. And being a smart object, we can keep going back into this and keep adjusting it as needed. So
exactly, that's the key.
Yeah, that's the key. So if we didn't make it a smart object, we could open this up here, but then any save we do would then essentially zero out anything if we reopened it. So to say, if I were to decrease the exposure on this guy right now and click OK, smart object wise, I can come back in and it will reopen in all of the settings that I leave it as. And when I click OK down here, if I didn't have a smart object, I believe I'm correct in saying it would just take these and then retool those to be zero. So every time I opened it, I would be starting off at exposure zero, even though I negated it by, you know, 1.1.
Yeah, you got it. It's basically you're starting over, and it kind of applies to like almost any edit you're doing.
Exactly. And then that ends up, you know, kind of, if you will, destroying, air quotes here, your, you know, it's a little less of that, you know, non-destructive workflow that we're going for. And so this is the way I love doing it. So that being said, thinking back to the color of that sky, we had a really nice magenta, you know, purple, kind of blue, you know, we had really great color, but we also had a really bright foreground. So I'm taking this and I'm dialing this exposure down, because I'm thinking about, okay, what's a realistic, if I were standing there in the dark, what is a realistic color? So if I take this and if I work on, okay, that's starting to look about like that color that was in the sky just a moment ago. Let's go with some gold, maybe blue, you know, turning that temp down. You know, we could bring up some shadows. And the thing is what's really awesome about this is if, you know, and I'm looking just, I'm ignoring the sky. I'm looking just at the flowers and, you know, essentially how this is going to look. So let's just go and click OK, and you'll see what ends up happening. Once this renders and once this pops down, now we have this Smart Filters Camera Raw filter down here that then, you know, really allows us to go back in and make any future edits incredibly simple.
I love it, man. That's great.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, we're getting the little beach ball here, and I don't know exactly why, but, you know, there we go. So now that's there. So if I turn on this upper layer again, there we go. So just like that, we have sky to foreground, you know, really amazing, you know, couple clicks, if you will. And that right there already looks pretty dang good. I've matched
that. That's really natural looking. I mean, that's, you know, compared to where you started.
Compared to where I started. So you know, right here though, I see that this peak is a little dark, and this is the beauty of the non-destructive workflow and masking. So I see that this is a little dark right here, and I kind of want to make this peak feather a little bit more naturally upward. So that being said, I want to use the black brush, but what I don't want to do is, you know, here, I'll just use the black brush. I still have the brush selected. I'm going to invert those guys there a little bit. So now I have the black as my foreground, because what I want to do is hide this up, and this will make sense once I do it. Reduce that flow because I want it to be a gentle bit. And if I click on this, I'm going and I'm just feathering that peak back into that sky. And what I can do too here is go, and if I'm worried, because what could really happen here, just for hard and example purposes, if I click on this like this, it will bring out that foreground sky, and I don't want to do that. So this is utilizing that mask for the sky that we built out earlier to our advantage. So I'm going to come to our channels, going down to sky, and I'm going to do command or control click on that. And when I do that, it's going to replace that sky mask. So that is going to then allow me to feather this. What I need to do though, to be able to blend this back up into the sky, is on select up here, I need to inverse this. So it'll flip the mask downward into the foreground bit. So then that way, when I click, it won't burn out the sky. It's just going to open these peaks back up and won't let me see that, how it won't let me feather that up into the sky portion, which is exactly what we want. It caps that off. And then for the heck of it, if I'm going back to the layers panel here, camera raw, if I'm thinking like, oh gosh, this doesn't really look right. You know, I'm not really liking the way this looks down in here, color wise, anything like that. If you just come in, if you double click on camera raw, this is going to open this, you know, exactly what we did earlier. It'll open this back up with our previous settings. And if I thought I needed to make this like a little less pink, you know, a little less on the magenta there, maybe I wanted to shrink my shadows a little bit, or maybe I wanted to take my whites down a little more. You know, what I thought too, maybe if I take and I go to my curves layer and I bring up a little bit of that red channel, specifically the red channel on the green, if I took and added a little bit more on, you know, just a little bit right there, click OK. And then you'll see how these updates get applied to the foreground layer instantly. And just like that, we've got another reworking and retooling of that foreground. And with this still selected, and I'm going back up to this layer, if this area appears looking a little too dark, we can feather a little bit of that texture back in. If this area down here is looking a little too bright, if we inverse our color over here to be white, this will allow us to paint in the night sky layer from up here. This is a little complicated and maybe a little confusing, but the idea is that you're utilizing this mask to help us. And you can see that that little area that I did for the rock now is showing through. The sky is white. So basically what I'm taking is this sky layer that's great for the sky and really dark in the foreground, but I'm utilizing that sky up here in the foreground layer that was really dark to my benefit, so I don't have to burn the layer, darken it. I can just utilize the already dark, I'm turning this flow down. I can utilize already the dark, you know, portion of that image just to create texture. And, you know, I don't even know if I need to do a whole lot more. Maybe build that out a little bit. So let me take my flow up just so I'm not clicking all day.
Yeah, I mean, and what you're really doing, I mean, this is all to taste, you know, this is up to you as the photographer to kind of say, hey, like you said, kind of, do I want this area to maybe be a little bit brighter? Do I want this to be a little bit darker? And by having that mask that you created, you're really giving yourself the flexibility with that brush tool by switching between the black mask or the black brush and the white brush to be able to just kind of paint and feather and just make these like little micro adjustments to be like, okay, this area is too dark. I'm going to make it a little bit brighter because I have the layer available, or a little bit darker.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And you know, it just makes it where it's really clean and you're not creating any issues with this blend. And you know, seeing this area up here, this still looks a little dark. So if I wanted to bring this foreground peak area back into, you know, visibility, it's just going up with the black brush because I'm wanting to hide a little bit and feathering this back in. White reveals, black conceals. And this really is just a lot of practice, learning these layers and how a lot of photographers work with this. But the idea here is learning how to mask, learning how to use the smart object, and then using the camera raw filter to work within the photograph here to readjust and adjust as you go non-destructively. And the reason why I have this third layer here is because I really liked that dark sky, and I felt that the stars in this image were great, but what I really loved about this image here was almost more the color in this area, you know, kind of at the horizon line. I really love the purple glow that I was getting. But then in this image, I really love stars because they were really popping. And so this here is a little bit more of, you know, with this selected, I'm going to, you know, select, I need to inverse this mask to go back into the sky. And if I click on that, this is gonna start looking a little bit funky. But the idea here is what I wanted to do was feather in, if you will, just that, you know, just those, that portion of the peaks, I'm sorry, not the peaks, the sky. Yeah, I was thinking like, you know, if I could feather in this area up here just to have more stars, then, you know, let me turn that off. There we go. Yeah. So I was thinking, all right, have this beautiful purple pink glow go across the sky into a few more stars off into the left.
And folks need to notice too that those stars moved. So that's something to consider here as you're brushing in this new layer.
Exactly. And so you can see how those stars did move as I click between this. And so that is one thing that this is just kind of like, this is where photography, I don't want to say goes into art, but what you need to be careful of, because I have a standing here. And so, I mean, this isn't taking a sky from a different day or a different scene and blending it in. It's just to say that keep in mind, you don't want to make it look like you have a million more stars than there are really in the sky. And so when I blended this together, I really made an effort to make sure that, you know, these stars, you know, my final edit didn't duplicate. So I didn't have two of, you know, everything to make my sky look more dramatic. I really worked on trying to make sure that it was like keeping this sky and having it just gradient into the next image.
Yeah. All right. So let's see how you brush these in.
Okay. So, you know, again, I want to apply that mask to the foreground so I don't mess anything up. So I'm going to go in here, command click. That's going to throw that onto there, onto the image. Select, I'm going to inverse this. Wait, let me go back. Bring that back up. And white reveals, black conceals. So let's see if I've got this right. But what I want to do is I want to get rid of, so that's keeping it from affecting the foreground with the sky selected. I'm going to start turning my flow down here. And what I'm looking at is how I'm wanting, you know, just feathering that over.
And by feathering it, you're kind of giving it that natural look. So that way there's no like harsh transition line. It looks really natural.
Correct. Natural. But as you can see, like there's getting to be this duplicate of a star there. Does that make sense? Like this star is this star. So this is like a complication of when you do something like this. So what you could also do too, is you could take this if you wanted to. I'm going to pick the move tool here and let's see, just nudging this with my keyboard.
Exactly. I mean, and this goes to, you know, again, how precise and how, I don't know if accurate's the right word, but how precise you want to be in, okay, this was the one star. So let's line those up.
Exactly. And so I did move this layer over. I did move this now sky layer over to the left so you can kind of see that. So you have to be careful of this when you do it. But the idea here is, I'll grab this brush again over here. You know, when you move them like that, you can create more complications. However, it does allow now for this sky to then blend in a bit better. And then you don't have those duplicates in the sky and the stars.
Yeah. So,
you know, and then if you find that like by moving, if you know, the sky layer, the 4957 layer, if you find that by moving it, you messed up, and it looks, you know, wonky and you're trying to correct too much of this in the horizon line and it's not looking right, you can always move it back. But what I like to do at times is realign those stars, if you will. So then you're not trying to clone them out or mess with them in the after effect. And I'm going to deselect that sky and you can see where this ridge line is a little bit off. And again, if you want to just put that back, select the image of the layer, select your move tool, and you can always just come back in and with that selected, just nudge this back over. And this is, and I'll just put this back. And you can see there's a little bit of this mask that the mask didn't get it right, and that you just clean up later. But
I mean, man, this looks looking pretty good. I think you've showed a lot here.
Reselecting that there. You know, that sky looks a little bit different than I want it to. So coming in and then I can always just pop back between these layers and there we go.
I mean, so for our audience, just while they're thinking, while you're kind of making some of these little adjustments, I mean, about how long were you kind of standing in the same spot to get these three images? Because I think that's something for folks to think about. I mean, to create this image and piece of art in the way that you have, you were there at twilight and then you had to stick around.
Correct. Yeah, I was standing there, you know, two hours maybe in the same spot.
And that's actually not too bad, I would guess. I mean, I'm sure you've had to wait for longer.
I've had to wait for longer, for sure. For sure. So again, you know, this is just, you know, this is the fine tuning of it all. I don't think we need to get into the overall, and I'm just switching, you know, so when I'm going between these two different layers here, and using the brush tool for white and black, black reveals, white conceals, you know, I'm wanting to bring out that this with the black layer here selected, I am bringing out this 4954 into the final image. So, you know, just working on this, you know, that's ultimately the goal is to just make it look natural, make it be your piece of work, your artwork. But the idea though too is if you don't want to mess with that and you don't want to complicate it, this right here is a perfectly acceptable layer for sky and stars without needing to use light painting. You're capturing the grand landscape. You're really keeping this super natural, super, super realistic.
Nice, man. This looks great.
So really, I mean, that is how I do my night sky blendings. I capture, you know, to recap, I capture that really nice foreground in, you know, right after the sun goes down, so I can have the low ISO really clean. Then I will stand there and without moving anything, you know, I will then start readjusting my ISO and my exposure time for the night sky images. So then I can just work with those later and blend those in. And, you know, then, you know, recapping in Photoshop here, what we've done is we've started off with our base layer. We've duplicated it, turned it into a smart object. And then we are allowed or able then to open it in Adobe Camera Raw, the Camera Raw filter, to then have it match and sync with these subsequent layers as we move up. And then that keeps our workflow just super natural. What's the word here that I'm looking for? Non-destructive. And then that way, you know, and then what I love to do is when I get to this point here, before I flatten anything, and when I get it to looking really nice, really good, what I like to do is I will then go up to file and I save as. And what I'll do with this is I will save it. I will save this and call it, you know, whatever I want to call it, but I will call it, you know, master file with etc. I get that, and then I always have all of my layers that I can always come back to. And once I get all this done, and I like say I like this exactly right now how I love it, I will take and just either merge or flatten, discard hidden layers. You've already saved that file as a master layer file. Okay. So now I've got this in a really easy editable state that then I can go through and make all these edits. It massively reduced my file size down here in this section and, you know, took it from around a gig down to 300 or so megabytes. And then I will then later go file save as, and then I'll retitle this to say, you know, whatever that file was, but not master anymore. I'll leave this as more of just like the file name that I want to call it. So I can always go back if I need to, but then this will be more of my edited image file that then I export and save and print and work with or do whatever I do.
Got it. But yeah, you still, at least you still have the old file if you need it.
Exactly. And so you always have your old file that saves right into Lightroom. If you're using Lightroom, but it's, you know, you save it in the destination you want to keep it as. And then, you know, this here, if you were to say, oh, you know, crap, I messed up on this, you can always reopen your previous image that had, you know, your master file with layers. You can always come back to wherever you left off. And, you know, it does take up more hard drive space, but it's the way I like to do it. It's my workflow. I always have it. I'm never worried about losing it. And I can always come back and rework it, you know, a year, 2 years later, if I ever wanted to. And yeah, that's it. That's it, man.
Nice. This was good stuff.
Well, thank you. I hope it's helpful. You know, it's a lot, you know, there, this is a very, you know, if you will, it's kind of like a crash course editing with layers and with masks and smart filters. But at the same time, with the video, I think that and hope that should allow viewers to kind of go back, you know, rewatch and if there's questions, shoot them our way. You know, happy to take that and kind of address it.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Cool. All right. Well, let's get out of Photoshop and we'll be done.
Well, Joe, thanks for talking us through that. That was some good learning and detail that hopefully our audience can go ahead and use when they're moving forward with getting out there and doing some night sky shots.
Yeah, dude, absolutely. It's always fun to share this stuff, you know, and there's so many ways to edit and also shoot in the field. And so again, this is, you know, my workflow. Again, you know, and if people have ideas or questions or suggestions, you know, shoot them our way, but it's how I like to do it. I found that it works really well. Granted, if you don't move your tripod and you line things right, you should be good.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was episode 2 of 2 of kind of a little night photography tutorial. I hope that everyone kind of enjoyed it. We can definitely do some more of these series, whether it's focused on architecture, real estate, or some other landscape type stuff. Right. But hopefully this kind of gave folks some skills of image blending and kind of how you edit night photography and using smart objects and stuff like that. So lots of good stuff in these last couple. So thanks, Joe, for walking us through it.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Cool.
Well, with that, I think we're done for today. So as always, thank you for tuning in, everyone. We truly appreciate it. We are on YouTube at InFocus Videocast. You can also take us on the go on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, I guess, has a podcast thing now, Stitcher, all these podcast places at InFocus Videocast. And please do email us with questions, comments, ideas, topics, things you want us to talk about at InFocusVideocast@gmail.com.
Yes, perfect.
Well, thanks as always, Joe. Always good chatting with you, catching up and doing these. So looking forward to doing it again soon when you get back from your next little road trip here.
Sounds good, man. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yep. See ya.